ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नस्तत्रेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भागवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिके। Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, entitled Talks Between Narad and King Prachinabari. Text number 34. Naikantata pratikara.
Naikantata pratikara.
Karmanam karma kevalam.
Karmanam karma kevalam.
Dvayam hi avidyo pashritam.
Dvayam hi avidyo pashritam.
Svapne svapna ivanaga.
Svapne svapna ivanaga.
Naikantata pratikara.
Naikantata pratikara.
Naikantata pratikara.
Naikantata pratikara.
Karmanam karma kevalam.
Karmanam karma kevalam.
Vayam yavidyopashritam. Svapne svapna ivanaga. Naikantata pratikara. Karmanam karma kevalam. Vayam yavidyopashritam. Svapne svapna ivanaka. Ekantata, ultimately, pratikara, counteraction, karmanam, of different activities, karma,
karma.
Another activity.
Kevalam,
only. Dvayam,
both.
He,
because.
Avidya,
due to illusion.
Apashritam,
accepted.
Swapne,
in a dream.
Swapna,
a dream.
Eva,
like.
Anaga,
O
you who are free from sinful activities. Translation. Narada continued, O you who are free from all sinful activity, no one can counteract the effects of fruitive activity simply by manufacturing a different activity devoid of Krishna consciousness. All such activity is due to our ignorance. When we have a troublesome dream, we cannot relieve it with a troublesome hallucination. One can counteract a dream only by awaking. Similarly, our material existence is due to our ignorance and illusion. Unless we awaken to Krishna consciousness, we cannot be relieved of such dreams. For the ultimate solution to all problems, we must awaken to Krishna consciousness. You can repeat. Narada continued. O you who are free,
from all sinful activity,
no one can counteract the effects of fruitive activity simply by manufacturing a different activity devoid of Krishna consciousness. All such activity is due to our ignorance. When we have a troublesome dream, we cannot relieve it with a troublesome hallucination. One can counteract a dream only by awaking. Similarly, our material existence is due to our ignorance and illusion. When we awaken to Krishna consciousness, we cannot be relieved of such dreams. For the ultimate solution to all problems, we must awaken to Krishna consciousness. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are two kinds of fruitive activity. We can place the burden on the head, or we can place it on the shoulder. Actually, keeping the burden in either place is the same. The transfer, however, is taking place under the name of counteraction. In this connection, Prahlad Maharaj said that fools and rascals in the material world plan so gorgeously for bodily comforts without knowing that such arrangements, even if successful, are only maya. People are working hard day and night for the illusory happiness of the body. This is not a way to achieve happiness. One has to get out of this material entanglement and return home, back to Godhead. That is real happiness. The Vedas therefore enjoin, don't remain in the darkness of this material world. Go to the light of the spiritual world to counteract the distress of this material body, one has to take on another distress condition. Both situations are only illusion. There is no gain in taking on one trouble to counteract another trouble. The conclusion is that one cannot be perpetually happy as long as one exists in this material world. The only remedy is to get out of this material world altogether and return home back to Godhead. Om agyanata marandasya kananjana shalakaya chatsur unmilitanyena tasmai shri purave namaha vanchakaupatarubhyasya kripasindhu vayevacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadha shri vasari gaur bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So we're hearing from Narada Muni, and he's instructing Maharaj Prachinibari about the nature of fruitive activities, material life. Is all based on fruitive activity. People work to enjoy results. Of course, people are working to get enjoyment. Why would we work to suffer? Everybody wants to enjoy, right? There's nothing wrong in wanting to enjoy. The problem is, we are trying to find the enjoyment in the wrong place. The real enjoyment is not found in the material world. But there's nothing wrong with the desire to enjoy. The nature of the soul, anandamaya vayasa, that we're meant to be happy, we're joyful by nature. And we're looking, trying to find that enjoyment. And we make many plans, we do a lot of work, go to great efforts to try to enjoy material life. But Narada Muni is describing that because in the course of our working we get problems, we try to solve the problems by another material solution. The example was given in the previous verse. You have a burden, you carry a big load on your head, you think, oh, this is very trouble. Let me move the burden to my shoulder. You're still carrying the same load, but you put it on a different place. So this is very much typical of the way people try to solve their problems in life. We have a problem and we try to make some material solution to the problem. The Prabhupada tells a story. There's that one story about the one man, he was very renounced and he was living very detached from the world. So he had one disciple. The disciple brought him Bhagavad Gita. Guruji, I want to give you this book. It's a holy book, Bhagavad Gita. Please take it. So the man took this Bhagavad Gita, accepted it. But the man was living in a simple cave. And so some mouse was coming and was eating the pages of Bhagavad Gita. So he said, what to do? This mouse is coming and eating my Bhagavad Gita. He thought, I know, I will get a cat. And the cat could stop the mouse. So he got one cat. But when the cat came, then the cat was, you know, cat needs some food. Meow, meow. You know, want something, so he has to think, I know, want some milk. So I thought, okay, get a cow. Bring a cow. So he gets a cow, but then who's going to take care of the cow?
have a cow here, have to wash the cow, have to cut, give grass, have to milk the cow. Okay, get a wife. Right? So wife gets married, has a wife. Then the wife comes. Where am I going to live? I have to have a house. Come on. So he has to make one house. Then wife also, I want children. I'm not just going to live here with you and the cow. We need children. And this way, you know, he was trying to solve this one problem, the Bhagavad Gita. And because of this one, just for the Bhagavad Gita, he got so many other things, you see. The cat, and then the cow, and then the house, and the children. So this is, you know, a material solution to a material problem. Just more entanglement, more difficulties. We often talk about treating symptoms rather than the disease. If you go to the doctor, then he will ask you, you know, you're not well, you're not feeling well, have a fever, have the stomach ache, have this and that. So the doctor hears all the symptoms. So he does not just treat each symptom separately, but from the symptoms, all the different symptoms, then he can understand what the actual disease is. And then he can give the proper treatment to cure. So in materialistic life, there are many symptoms, many signs of trouble in the world. Oh, we have problem, air pollution. What will we, so much pollution in the air, what will we do? Oh well, we can put fans, and fans will, you know, keep the air circulating. We won't mind so much the pollution. You know, nobody thinks that air pollution, what's the cause of the air pollution? Motor cars. Okay, we don't need motor cars. Let's all get bullet cars and bicycles. No, we're not going to do that. No, we'll put fans, we'll put air conditioners. That will solve the problem. Nobody, this is treating, again, symptoms rather than the disease. What is the disease in this material? The disease is our ignorance. First, the first ignorance is we are thinking, I am this body. And then the second ignorance, this is mine, it's all for my enjoyment. And we are thinking this world is meant for our enjoyment. We've come here, we're thinking just to enjoy. Yeah, we'll have nice prasadam here, eat prasadam, then we'll come to Bhagavatam class and sleep. Yeah, very nice. And after Bhagavatam, then we can sleep more. Yeah, very good life. And then it will be lunchtime, then we eat again. Yeah, nice life. Eating, sleeping. We also want to enjoy. We do want to enjoy. But we have to enjoy not on the just simply the pleasure of the tongue. But we want the spirit, on the spiritual platform that is enjoyment. The pleasure of the soul. We have to awaken this higher pleasure. The pleasure of connecting our soul with the Supreme Soul. There's pleasure in that union, right? We are practicing yoga. We are also yogis, right? We are yogis in devotion. We have to connect, make that connection with the Supreme by our own consciousness. The consciousness has to be in union with the Divine. So this is our purpose in all of our activities. Dharma svanustika pumsa vishvakshena tatasuya not pariyadya dhiratim shrama evahi kevalam. Duties executed by all men are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the Supreme Lord. Shrama eva hi kevalam. Useless labor. So the people in the material world, they're maybe working very hard, and it seems like they're doing good things, you know. Somebody may be doing social work, they're building the school, the hospital, they're building the home for the invalid people. Like there's so many different welfare institutions are here in India. You know, the Lions Club, the Rotary Club, they're doing some things, you know, they're putting the shelter at the bus station, you know, to protect them from the heat or the rain. But who's protecting people from Kali? Who's protecting them from Maya? Who is protecting them from sin? Where is the shelter for that? That only comes. Mahadam, sit properly. Yes, sit properly. We come here to sit properly. At least, then that's one good thing. So Krishna consciousness is there within us, but we have to awaken it in the proper process. Materialistic people, they're only thinking their material problems. Oh, I have this problem, I have the money problem, I have the marriage problem, I have the children problem, I have the college problem. Oh, so many problems. It's a big list, all the problems. What is the real problem? The real problem is we've forgotten our identity as a spiritual person. People are saying, problem, my health, how I can be Krishna if I'm not healthy. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati said, anybody who's engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord is a healthy person. And anyone who is not hearing, he is a sick person. He's sick because he's not hearing, he's not chanting the glories of the Lord. That is a disease. Prabhupada gave one big pandal in 1977 in Mumbai. There is no scarcity in the world except Krishna consciousness. Everything is there. Everything we need. Just one thing we're lacking. Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada gives the example. We will give you a check. So many zeros. Oh, will you be happy? You take it to the bank. So many zeros are there. So then they'll put into your account zero. Right? Even though they put, oh, so many zeros. Oh, 8, 10, 12 zeros. But still in your account, zero. Nothing. But when we put the one in front of all the zeros, then it becomes lakh. Crores, so much. So in the same way, you may have so many things. Oh, you are educated. Oh, you are the top student. Oh, you are brahmachari. Oh, you are the brahmana. Oh, you are the high class family. What? You are so many things. But if you are not Krishna conscious, it's all zero. Useless, right? Does not matter what you are. If you are not Krishna conscious, then it is all useless. Because we're still in the illusion of this body and we're simply trying to exploit the material world. Srila, I was reading Bhakti Vikas Swami's very interesting book about Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, and he has one quote there. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati used to criticize people who do these altruistic work, who are engaged in humanitarian activities. Seems like they're doing good things for the benefit of others. But he said, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati said, that a Kanista Adhikari who is in the temple, who just rings the bell one time for the deities, he's in a better position than any of these other philanthropists or altruists, humanitarianists, social workers. They're doing nothing compared to this Kanista Adhikari who is ringing the bell one time in the temple. They're better situated than any of these welfare workers. So we can understand just how powerful Krishna consciousness is. If we take up this Krishna consciousness seriously and put it into our heart that we're going to dedicate our life for Krishna consciousness, then that will be very good for the world. Prabhupada writes in the introduction, in the preface of the Bhagavad Gita, that if even one person will become Krishna conscious, then he considers his attempt to be worthwhile. Because if one person becomes Krishna conscious, then he will make so many others Krishna conscious also. This is the fact. By not just only by our preaching, by our example. The example has to be there. We have to be an example for the others. We have to show people how to live in this world without attachment, working dutifully for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. A Krishna conscious person is not lazy or idle. Rather, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it said the devotees of the Lord are so busy researching the absolute truth that they don't have enough time in the day for all the things they have to do. So every one of us, we have a great responsibility to faithfully study all of Srila Prabhupada's books. Not only study them for our own benefit and for our own self-improvement, but for the sake of enlightening others about the nature of the Absolute Truth. We not only take up the devotional activities like coming to Mangal Arti and chanting our rounds with care and attention, avoiding the offenses. We don't do that, it's not only for our own benefit, but we do everything for the pleasure of Krishna. We have to give up the selfish mentality, thinking that I'm the enjoyer, that this is for my pleasure. No, we do everything for the pleasure of Krishna. So Narada Muni is making the point here that we won't get rid of the problems of the world by just coming up with another material solution. Stopgap solutions, political solutions. We have one political party, okay, we're tired of this party, kick them out, bring in another party, okay, they're finished, get rid of them, bring in another political party, and they're going on one after another, and each one is promising sense gratification. We will make you rich, we will give you the nice, comfortable home, we will make your children they will have a nice school, nice education. And everyone is thinking, yes, this is what we want. Nobody is thinking the real problem of life is this material body, old age, disease, and death. Who is going to solve this problem? This is the real problem. So Krishna consciousness is not some stopgap solution, some temporary solution, which, okay, Krishna consciousness was the solution today, but tomorrow, no, it's a different situation, I have to have another thing, I have to find something else. Sometimes people are like that. They come to Krishna consciousness and they think, you know, oh well, you know, I'm in distress today, but tomorrow, you know, I'll be okay, and then I'll make another solution to my problem, my situation tomorrow. Krishna consciousness is the solution, the panacea, the cure for all disease, because it takes out the root at the very root of our heart is this desire to enjoy. Prabhupada gives an example in 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. You'll remember at the end of the 5th canto, Maharaj Parikshit had been hearing about all the different hellish planets. So then he asked Sukadeva Goswami in the 6th canto, at the beginning of the 6th canto, how to save people from these hellish conditions. And Sukadeva Goswami began describing, oh, you can do brahmachari, you can be a brahmachari, or you can do austerity, or you can do monavrat, or you can do some tapasya, you can do some charity. But Maharaj Parikshit understood that these kind of atonements are only temporary, that that's not going to take away the desire to enjoy. The example is the bathing of the elephant. Takes a bath, gets nice and clean, and comes out of the water, and first thing he does, roll in the mud. Right? That is the nature of material life. People do some sin, and then they want to be pious, then they'll go back and do more sin. Prabhupada said, every day 1,000 prostitutes go to take bath in the Ganga. They're taking bath in the Ganga. Did they give up their business? No. They're still in the business. They're still prostitutes. But every day they're going to take bath in the Ganga. So that is not the solution to sin. The same way, if we have to go into the heart, we have to pull out that weed. If you have a fire in the forest, the fire will burn all the trees, everything is burned. But then, after some time, then the rain comes, pours water, and then after the rain comes in, things start to grow again. There was a fire, everything was burned down, but the roots were in the ground. And when the rain comes, all the roots are watered, and the creepers and trees, they all grow up again. And this is what happens with material life. We do some material activities, we suffer, then we try to renounce, then we try to enjoy again. After renunciation, then we want to enjoy. So in Krishna consciousness, we don't want to have this chapala sukh or bhoga tyaga. Bhoga tyaga, right? Bhoga and then tyaga. Then more bhoga and okay, tyaga again. And then back to the bhoga. No, enjoying, renunciation, that is not the way. We want to become fixed in Krishna consciousness. But to do that, we have to pull out that desire for material enjoyment. And to do that, we have to go deep into the heart. It is not the easy thing, not the easy process. It takes some time, some challenge. Prabhupada, maybe you heard, this year, Mahavishnu Swami was giving class in Mayapur, and he was reading Prabhupada's purport, and Prabhupada was saying, in this very life, you can become Krishna conscious. In this very life, you can become perfect. It's possible. But then also, when he had his computer, and he was on the folio, and he was going through different quotations, in this very life, no. And then he said, in this very, there was a quote, Prabhupada said, you won't become perfect in one life. It won't take one life. It may take one life, but not very easy. It may take more. It takes time to purify ourselves. Mahadam, sit up. Keep your back straight. Then you won't sleep. I know your name, you see, this is the problem. You weren't the only one sleeping, but I knew your name, so. Yeah. So, we have to understand what is the problem and how serious this problem is. The problem is not, you know, our ashram, it's not our service, it's not, you know, my nature or anything. The problem is simply material energy. Material energy conditions us. And we're thinking that we can enjoy in this world. We have to understand the enjoyment is not in this world. We have to get out from this place. And the solution is Krishna consciousness. Now, to become Krishna conscious, we said, it can be easy, it can take a minute, but it may take many lives. It depends. We have to work hard in everything. Enthusiasm, patience, determination as required. Rupa Goswami describes these things also being very important for our Krishna consciousness. We have to understand how difficult it is to get free of conditioned life. But if we hold on to the great devotees, we have such great powerful acharyas in our line of disciplic succession. And if we take shelter of their teachings, and if we utilize our full energy in their service, then certainly it will be greatly beneficial for us. So Krishna consciousness is a science. We have to apply ourselves. The theory is here, the method is here. We have the best opportunity. You have a nice temple here. You have so many nice facilities. You have everything. But that is also can be a problem. Because you think, I have it made. It's so nice here. I don't have to worry about anything. Everything is laid on. Nice temple. I don't have to worry about the bills. Somebody else is arranging that. They'll pay the bills. I can just be here, chant. Prabhupada shows us his mood, go out and preach. We were reading in Srimad Bhagavatam in Mayapur, we were reading about Dhruva Maharaj. And he was also, what did he have to do? Great austerities. Only for 6 months. But very severe austerity to please the Lord. But then, even at the end of life also, he went to Badrik Ashram again. You know, he did not forget the Lord throughout his life. Prabhupada also told us, he never forgot Krishna throughout his life. So here, Narada Muni is advising this Maharaj Prachinibari. You know, don't just do these karmakandi activities just to get some material enjoyment. That is not the goal. No, the problem is this material existence. We want to get free from this material existence. So we have to work very seriously. We have to become very determined to give this Krishna consciousness. The more we distribute Krishna, the more you get Krishna yourself. So Prabhupada's program, Prabhupada's movement is a preaching movement. Yeah. We go out and preach. We give Krishna consciousness. We find the ways and the means. So many opportunities are here in this Calcutta, Prabhupada's Janmasthan. Practically everyone in Calcutta knows Prabhupada. So much preaching has to be done though. Because often people are full of so many other ideas. They don't just know Prabhupada, they know so many others also. Aurobindo's house is along the road there, you know. And Ramakrishna is over here. And so, you know, there's so many other people everywhere. So it's very hodgepodge. And Prabhupada said the problem with this Hindus, he said, when you scratch it a little, you will see Mayavadi. Just like one man was coming in the bus yesterday, I was coming in the ISKCON bus back from Mayapur. So one man was come talking to me. He was saying, yes, I am from Vaishnava family. My mother and father, they were very good Vaishnavas. And this, and he said, yes, I've read the Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. And he said, I've also read Radha Krishna's Bhagavad Gita. So then I said, and he asked me, have you read Radha Krishna's Bhagavad Gita? I said, that is not Vaishnava Siddhanta. Why you read that? No, he said, but he's philosopher. Philosopher. Like this. So this is, they can't understand the difference, you see. They're thinking, oh, so many Bhagavad Gita's are there. They're all good. Prabhupada is good. Radha Krishna is also good. This one, that one, oh, it's all, they're all good. They cannot understand the difference. How they're all, they've taken Krishna's Bhagavad Gita to present their own message, their own philosophy, which has nothing to do with Krishna's message. It's simply twisting Krishna's message. So many people are bewildered. Therefore, we have to preach boldly. We have to go out and preach and give people this real message of Krishna consciousness. What is Bhagavad Gita? What is the message of Bhagavad Gita? What is this Vaishnava Siddhanta? Everyone is thinking, oh, it's all good. This is good. That is good. Mother Teresa, she's also very good. Yeah, but it's material. It's on the material platform. Welfare activities. Krishna consciousness is spiritual. Nothing to do with these mundane material activities. Prabhupada said, when we go and distribute prasada, the devotees were saying, Prabhupada, we want to go and distribute prasadam in the poor areas. Prabhupada said, why? He said, why just go to the poor areas? He said, you should distribute prasadam everywhere. He said, everyone is poor, spiritually. The so-called wealthy people also need mercy. They also need prasadam. They also need to be purified. So we have to be very clear about the message of Krishna consciousness. And we have to present it very forcefully. But if we are not convinced ourselves, how will we convince others? So it's very important that we are also convinced. We have to feel very determined and very willing to dedicate our lives for Krishna and to take on troubles, to accept the difficulties for preaching Krishna consciousness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in one song that the difficulties which he undergoes for devotional service are his greatest pleasure. So we should also try to experience that. I mean, that's a very high level of Krishna consciousness. But still, we should aspire. We should also think that I also want to be like that. That I'm not on that stage yet, but I hope that one day I will appreciate that the difficulties which I undergo are the greatest pleasure for Krishna. Okay, we'll stop now. We'll ask if there's some questions. Maybe Maharajis want to give some comment. To learn and Maharajis are here. They can also give some purport. I'm here to learn.
study and fix the Krishna consciousness, how many years have you been devotee, Mark?
Huh?
How many years have you been devotee?
40.
40 years. So we can learn from Srila Maharaj many things. We can learn humility, steadiness. Very humble devotee. He doesn't present himself as being a big devotee. And your senior, excellent preacher, but he doesn't present, he's not puffed up, he's not proud. So, actually, that is acharya. Well, he is the Jain spiritual master, and he has disciples, but he's not thinking, yes, yes, I'm a very big devotee. You know, now the world should bow down to me. He's thinking himself, dust and dust, and dust. Therefore, he's successful. If you want to be successful in your Jain consciousness for 40 years, or 43 years, you want to be successful, you take that example. You take that example, dust and dust and dust. Don't think you're a big devotee. Don't chase after pratistha position. Don't chase after. Don't try to climb the corporate ladder. Let it become big. Let me wear software and not put lots of money in my pocket. No. And it will go down. Anyways, I just want to point out to Ashwin Maharaj and the Jain Acharya. Why? Because he's just quiet, very quiet, unassuming. Very soothing, very nice, soothing, humble devotee. You know, so much somebody else for a humble devotee. Sometimes he becomes actually a Narasimha Guru also, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the point is, you can take an example in that way, that don't try to be big! Don't try to be big! You can increase your service, but don't try to be big! He travels all over the world, he preaches constantly, excellent preacher, but he doesn't consider himself to be a big devotee. It's not the way he sees himself. He understands the Siddhanta of our philosophy, dasa, dasa, dasa. He understands this point. By vidya, by realization, he understands. Not theoretical. Everybody can say it, he can spell out the words. But it's usually, it's theoretical, but it's the use. No. Dasa, dasa, dasa. You just present Krishna consciousness nicely, serve the devotees nicely. Don't think you're big. Don't try to climb the corporate ladder. If you get recognized for yourself, that's why it is. But don't try to climb the corporate ladder. Now, climb in this big, big position. Only seem like some bigger. Well, you seem like you get a little bigger than you know.
Same day, yeah. We took a same day in London from Prabhupada. And Mahavishnu Swami also. Mahavishnu Swami, Subhag Maharaj, me, and several others. We all got
in. Mahavishnu Swami, another good example. He doesn't care anything for external considerations. He's completely transcendental. He doesn't care about the material world at all. Really? He's transcendental, you know. Yes, it's just. After Prabhupada, after Prabhupada, if you want to take an example from these devotees, how to go after Prabhupada, and show through Prabhupada, that will be your success. But if you just want to try to see how you can become a big devotee, then you'll crash. So many big devotees, they crash. They were not big. Actually, Prabhupada told a joke about that. The big devotee concept. You know, that, He said that in a desert there are no trees. There are no trees in a desert. There may be a little castor bean tree, maybe a bush about this tall. You know, that example? A bush, maybe this size bush. He said, "Oh, there's a very big tree." You know, that's Prabhupada's response to the ISKCON nearbites. Talking about, oh, big devotee. I was just making a joke out of it. You see? Big So you're very fortunate that you're God's disciples of Prabhupada. Take the opportunity while we're still alive and we're getting very old. You know, our bodies are living without Krishna.
He doesn't do more. Doesn't he?
Okay.
God was trying to give them life. How Prabhupada lived his life when going to America? Why was he another longer time? He became so hungry. They have no clothing, warm clothes. In another market, a severe cold of Vrindavan. Whole day he'll be writing, and at the end he'll be something. He'll go one up there, just to say, look at the location, he'll walk. And sometimes, you know, quiet spots of his mind from Bengal, he can't throw it. Not that they are there, he. You could recognize. Still he is determined, as far as determined from Sahara. That is why Prabhupada is crowned with success over fulfilled the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He called Prabhupada to fulfill it. We can at least become something. At least become
something. But I didn't even want pure devotees to be successful, he said. But if you make many pure devotees, as long as we don't think the pure devotee word, we have to be careful with that word. You understand, it doesn't necessarily mean Paramahansa, it does not necessarily mean Gautama Kami. It's not Prabhupada's meaning when he said pure devotee who follows purely. Los Angeles also 1969 is in the lunar region there. Somebody bring a question and asked him purely to ask Prabhupada. He was called Swamiji in there. Swamiji, how many pure devotees are on the planet? He turned to Jamal Krishna Maharaj. It's not that Prabhupada felt that all his disciples were Paramahansa. We should not be confused on that point. That Paramahansa is very high.
Anyone who sees him is happy. He's pure clothing, he's each other.
The means who follows Acharya, if you follow Acharya, then you belong to the pure guru. Who rises early in the morning, who chants 16 rounds, who hears Bhagavad Gita, who reads the Shastra, who bows. Worshipping in the who is only such a person can be called pure devotee. That is Prabhupada's position, his statement. It didn't mean that everyone was now Mahabhagavat. I mean, only months before that, smoking pot, you know, it was in sex. Still, so much credit Prabhupada gave. Why? Why so much credit he was giving? Following Acharya, surrendering to Acharya. That's all. That is the criterion, that is the basis, that is a measuring stick. The Prabhupada said, if I can make even one pure devotee, my mission is successful. We made so many pure devotees. We see in this crowd how many pure devotees. Now, expansion. Now, also, the so called pure devotees, also. Hundreds of thousands of pure devotees, also. But what is the criterion is to follow Acharya. And the other thing is also that Prabhupada personally gave me the instruction of what is the difference between the distinction between initiate and disciple. Because, you know, perhaps you would agree, in the early days, we thought that everybody, whoever sat down in front of the fire, put on big beads, put their hand in a bead bag, starts chanting Hare Krishna, that they were a disciple. That was the general understanding, yeah? Yeah, but actually, the thing is, in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam says that this kind of whole chapter on devotional service mixed with devotion of material nature. So, yet at the same time, devotional service is always described as transcendental, right? Devotional service is described as transcendental. So how do we harmonize? So I asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, in the third canto of Bhagavatam says, the whole chapter of devotional service mixed with the most material nature. Does that apply to your disciples? I thought
that's what. Are you good about that?
Are you ready? Professor Sindhu? Professor. He said, it depends who you consider to be my disciples. Put up a bomb in my face, you know. I was like so shocked. I could, we was not worthless, like a landmine. Boom! You know, went out right in front of me, like a bomb went out of my God, you know. I was so shocked from what was making the decision. Immediately after I said, oh my God, he does not consider all these thousands of the ships. So many he doesn't consider the disciples. Said, oh! I heard that very much once say about one of his men, also one of his not men, he said, oh, it's shocked. Because why? Because disciple means who follows the discipline. A child. Proverbs instructions as given also by Dishu Guru Sisra, by Sanyasi. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada said, it depends if you consider your, my disciple, that a Christian gave me some intelligence, even though I was stunned. He gave a Christian gave me some intelligence, that's why he said, I mean those who follow your instructions, Srila Prabhupada. And he said, no, it is not. So, those who follow Charya strictly, then they are not animals for generation. It may resemble such reminders in our mind. And each of them, the earlier Prabhupada said, is like a mango. You can't say a green mango is not a mango. A green mango is also a mango, but it's a green. So, if I devote it, if they follow Charya, even a neophyte devotee is on the wrong word platform. Even a neophyte. That means following a charter. So that's the distinction probably very clear. So now that we have to consider who is disciple and who is not. And only those who follow a charter, they are disciple. I don't care, it doesn't matter. 5 year devotee, 10 year devotee, 20 year devotee, 30 year devotee. If they do not follow a charter, they are not disciple. Sorry. It is not a sin.
Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur said, I made many, like I gave them initiation. Who is my disciple?
I told you it's my Shankar Guru, you know.
He has to make at least one pure devotee consider my movement is successful.
And then this movement is making devotees like popcorn. Like, you know, you watch, everybody's watching popcorn and everything.
Okay. Is he coming? Is he going?
If you don't want the easy going part, then requires the disciple to discipline, that's all. It means that you have to follow a material. And that means you have to go on rising early morning. You know, you have to carry out these practices that are working. Why you not? If you want to go to the bargain, it's fine. Don't manufacture your own program. Probably use this word manufacture, yes? Don't manufacture, not manufacture, don't manufacture! Like industrial plant, factory. No! Don't manufacture some other conception. Okay, I'll take this. Yeah, I don't feel like that part. This I'll take.
Change what I gave you, everything you can give you. Don't change.
I don't use the Shankar Guru. When it gets going, you know, like a train, you know, a train that starts off. And one way a train starts off, once it's going, watch out, you know.
It's very nice. It's always actually it's good to know what moment exactly says, so that we are not doing something which is changed. Very careful. If you stick in all what Gopa said, no doubt you will achieve
success. I used to say, you Americans, if you could walk on your hands, you would do it. But now, that was when the focus of the movement was in America. But now the focus is not America anymore. You know, now there are so many thousands of devotees in India now. There are some 8,000, about 8,000 RYF boys alone in India. Remember, Ukraine, and Russia, you go to Russia, right?
I go to Far Eastern and Russia. Far Eastern and Russia is.
Yeah,
Vladivostok.
Khabarovsk and Blagoveshchensk.
Ukraine.
I don't know the
difference. Tens of thousands of devotees in that area. So, I thought my orders are coming up, but like you say, you should go, you should go. So, to stay fixed, don't manufacture your own program. Become senior editor, now I don't have to anymore do anything. No. You have to follow the turn, you have to go on and follow it. That's it.
Well, I say, if you don't talk about that, if you don't get a do 16 down, to get spiritual say must come to Maharaj, must do 16,000 minimum, very nice. You must take only prasada. Don't eat outside, don't make something from outside, manufacture the process. The moment you do that, then you know everything is spiritual. Purity is happening. No purity, everything is hollow. What Krishna like? Krishna like dal, sabzi. You have all this? Yeah? You don't take this? Now this is also vegetarian, don't bother. Now, what? What is prasad? What Krishna like? What I say to you, teach you? Like dal, sabzi, chapati. This is there? Yeah? You don't take? Now this is also vegetarian. That's what I say. What Krishna like? You have this. Please be apart. How you apart? To see. Please be to me. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, in Los Angeles, when they were making some sweets, they were using chocolate and stuff like that. Prabhupada said, why don't you make our Bengali sweets? Why don't you make some dash and like that? And Prabhupada didn't appreciate.
I would say, it is better say, because I wonder if I go word and again joy say what? Thapsa is not here. So I also understand what? Those things are not there outside. So you put all this not there to what you are. So you chant Hare Krishna here, this making Vaikuntha and take all this thing. And I have decided to use better be sure and stick to Goma. But to any subcommand just can make to bring others to Krishna consciousness, not many this said. You may look at box or so many things. But what Prabhupada said, any comment?
Another heavy quote from Prabhupada. I have a citation, everybody wants to get it in my computer, but I haven't got it, you know. Prabhupada says, if anyone even pretends to be a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they must get up. But there's so many devotees around the world, even living in temples that don't go to Mahaprabhu. Wearing saffron, but not properly carrying out Vaini Bhakti. But another famous statement by Prabhupada, we consider it to be famous, yes. Wherever Prabhupada said, we consider it to be famous. Burbu Vasta. Maybe ask who's a cable, but that's not a joke. Not a joke. Whatever Prabhupada said is, famous, you know. Anyways,
Krishna said, Sarvasya Amrishan Krishna, Matsa Sati Kena Mahan. Krishna reminds, Krishna makes us the University of Guru Vasa, something. Guru Vasa. Before that,
whatever Prabhupada said is famous in the three worlds, you know. Whatever Prabhupada said, that when we are singing, if you ask who sees people, what it means, knowing in the three worlds, all the devas are knowing, devas are knowing, they are watching this movement, devas are watching this movement, you know.
They are coming sometime, sometime we go to last. But what is this vessel of small small and of the deity? That was in some other temple in your Ghana. And Guba said, see, those previously used to do so many things that bad and the four very Christian ready, left their life in the future. But now they gave up, they have killed, and Sari, and Stefan, Punta, they are dancing, chanting the right place and joyful, giving Nara money, giving Lord Shiva, with that coming and to watch this voice.
Well,
that
was at least twice documented in New York City. Oh, I don't know, in the late 90s, early 70s, New York City, very early. Somebody walked into walked into the temple room and said very loudly, "Ha! Mulatya's chanting Hare Krishna!" And then walked out. What is that? Oh, that was really weird, very strange. What many Haris know the word Mulatya in maybe 1969, 1970, 71? America, land of the medias, who knows any sense? You know, pretty hard. And much is dead by Krishna. So the devotees went to Sukhara. Very strange. Some karmi just came into the temple room and shouted, much is dead by Krishna. That was very strange for them. They said, oh, like it was no big deal. Oh, yeah, that was not really.
One seat for Lord Brahma, one seat for Narada Muni. He said when they come, they can attend the arti, they can sit there, put two, and there's two small seats.
Nine centuries. There were two big vessels. One side of the Narada Munisha, that is in London, we had nine centuries. That I just. I don't know. Maybe nowadays I don't see those people, those two houses.
Oh, really?
I
know in Burry place we used to have the two.
Yes. I did so many arati, Mongol arati, Indian arati. I saw. Any else? Something?
Any question from the devotees?
You ask Maharaj, money to give class, I can get those stories so many encouraging. Thank you, Tom. Ask Maharaj to give class. To give. It is only 27, right? Yeah, so.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.